So people get mad. They're like, Pastor Thompson shouldn't have called out Pastor Fritz. Pastor Thompson shouldn't have called out Pastor McMurtry, or you guys should have called out Pastor Boyle, or you guys shouldn't have called out, you know, Adam Fannin or whatever. All these people. You guys shouldn't have called out Pastor Major. But, you know, let me just help you, because when we move on these issues, we're not just moving because we just read a post somewhere and we got angry about it. We've been looking at these things and documenting these things for a long time. In fact, let me help you guys, some of the people out there who lack discernment, and let me just give you my documentation of the last year and a half of the subtle attacks that have been happening in the new IFB, and you tell me, how are we supposed to take this? Say, well, what have they done? Okay, and look, I'm going to give you five clear points of what these guys have done against our church and against our friends, and I'm telling you right now, any one of these guys, if they have a backbone, can stand up and call me out. I'm going to number them for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They can stand up and say, number 2 is a lie. That never happened. Number 4 is a lie. That never happened. If they can say that with integrity, then I'm telling them they should. But they can't, because what I'm telling you is the truth.
Amen.
Say, what have they done? How about severely attacking us concerning COVID? How about the fact that they were attacking pastors who were doing live stream only services? Now, if you ask them, if you ask Absalom, they would say, well, we're not attacking, you know, them specifically. We're just attacking all pastors in general. You know, and they'd say anyone who's doing live stream only services during coronavirus, they would say they're rolling over to the government. They would call them cowards. They would say they're FEMA pastors. You know, and here's the thing. Here we are, right? February of 2020, and we're kind of like, I don't know what this coronavirus thing is. It could have been the Black Plague for all I know. Right. We sat there and counted about 9 different people in our church that would have been considered high risk. We didn't know if it was true. We didn't know if it was a big deal. We didn't know what it was going to be like. And we said, hey, we're just going to temporarily do live stream only services, you know, just so we can kind of figure this thing out. And then all of a sudden, all these just vicious attacks. And we're looking at them, we're saying, like, friend, are you talking about us? Like, no, not you. Everyone else, not you. But just attack, you know, yeah, these guys are FEMA pastors. These guys are this, these guys are that. And the funny thing is that at Verity Baptist Church and all the friends that I know, anyone that went live stream only, you know, we still had people in the room with us every service. And the funny thing is that we probably still had more people in the room with us when we were doing live stream only services than they had when they didn't shut down.
Amen.
But, you know, they're attacking us for going live stream only while we, their supposed pastor friends, were temporarily doing live stream only services. And we're like, that's a little odd. Are you talking about us? No. I was talking about another church in California. Okay, so you gotta just jot that down and think, that's odd. Maybe they're having a bad day. How about this? Lavishly promoting people who turn on us. I mean, these guys have gone out of their way. They're falling all over themselves to promote and protect and befriend any guy who just turns on it. I'm not talking about one guy. I'm talking about multiple people. When they turn on us, they just go, they just like falling all over themselves to connect with them, to have them come preach for them, to go preach for them, to do videos with them. You say, I don't know. I think it's kind of a coincidence. Okay, well, how many do you have to do before it becomes a pattern? Joe Major makes a video saying, I don't like Pastor Anderson. I'm separating from Pastor Anderson. I'm separating from the new IFB. And they're just falling all over themselves to go preach for him, to have him come preach for them, to just be their friends. And you kind of take note of that, and you're like, that's a little odd. You know, first we had this coronavirus thing. Now we have this Joe Major thing. How about Patrick Boyle, who held an entire conference against the new IFB's King James-only position, who held an entire conference against Pastor Anderson, who had Adam Fannin come to his church and publicly pray, and when Patrick Boyle turns on us, they're just falling all over themselves. I mean, they're scheduled to go do a revival conference for him sometime soon here. How about Josh Gander, who's a dipstick up in Canada, not even worth mentioning his name, who's just this idiot, has just been severely attacking all of us, and they're just falling all over themselves to protect him, to promote him. How about Paul Wittenberger? I mean, Paul Wittenberger, as far as I know, hasn't attacked us, but he definitely separated himself from us, and that's fine. People want to separate themselves from us, that's not a problem. But they just go out of their way to connect themselves with him, to do live streams with them. How about Matt Powell? Same thing. As far as I know, he hasn't attacked us, but he's definitely separated himself from us, and they're just falling all over themselves to connect with him, to befriend him, to have him do live streams together. Look, how much discernment do you have to have before you start making the connecting? Huh, it seems like everybody that turns on us, they just befriend them and become their close friend and want to do all these conferences together. How much discernment do you have to have before you start connecting the dots and thinking, I don't think these people like us? I think these people are subtly attacking us. Looks like everybody that turns on us, they're just like, that's my best friend. And then, you know, you preach like this, and this is the comment that comes back to you. Well, don't they have the right to be friends with whoever they want? Now, listen to me. Let me answer your stupid question. Yes. But before you say, well, then they can do whatever they want. Okay, but if the answer is yes for them, isn't the answer yes for us? Well, don't they have the right to be friends with whoever they want? Okay, yeah, they do. So don't we have the right to choose to not be friends with them based off the fact that they want to be friends with our enemies? No. You just have to keep being their friend. They have the right. They have the right, but not you. That's stupid. You know, they don't have to be friends with anybody. Well, you know what? I don't have to be friends with them either. They can go preach wherever they want and not preach wherever they want. Well, you know what? I don't have to be their friend and like them and promote them either. You say, these subtle attacks attacking us regarding coronavirus, lavishly promoting and turning, you're just loving everyone who turns on us. These people have no loyalty. I'm only on point two. I got five of these. I'm trying to help some of you. You don't have any discernment. You just think, you guys are just, you know, a little uptight. You're always mad about everything. Let me teach you a lesson on discernment. How about attacking the kids of the new IFB? I mean, going out of your way to make statements. There's a situation not too long ago where some of the kids in the new IFB got in trouble. You know what? Kids are going to get in trouble. Teenagers are going to be stupid. Their minds are not fully developed. You know that? That's scientifically proven. Sometimes kids are going to do stupid things. And you know what? All the parents, all the authorities were told, the kids got punished, they repented or whatever. You know, that's their business. Kids are going to do stupid things. But you know, after that happens, these guys, they've just been going out of their way to just any chance they have to just make these statements. We're just trying to raise pure kids. We're just trying to raise godly kids. As if all of us aren't trying to raise pure kids and godly kids. And they make these statements how the new IFB kids are so bad in comparison to the old IFB. I mean, Grayson Fritz made this statement about the old IFB. I'm going to quote him. This is what he said. He said, the old IFB, they raise better families than the new IFB. I'll take an old IFB family any day of the week and put them against 99% of the new IFB clowns any day of the week. He's saying 99% of our kids are just trash in comparison to the old IFB. Let me tell you something. I grew up in the old IFB. You know that a mom that homeschools and is a homemaker is a rarity in the old IFB? You know, at the old IFB, virtually every woman works a job, wears pants, goes to work. But these are the kids. You know, they raise better kids. Look, I grew up old IFB. I graduated from a Christian school with all these kids that were raised in church. And my wife and I were talking about, the only kids that I knew growing up that I can say right now are serving the Lord were all related to the pastor. All the rest of them have gone to the devil. But the old IFB kids are better than the new IFB kids. Well, I don't know what kids you're looking at. Maybe all the kids in your church suck. But you ought to take a look at the kids from Verity Baptist Church. I'm so proud and so impressed with some of the young people in our church. We've got some of the great, and I'm not trying to give them a big head. I'll pick on them and make sure they get humbled later. But we've got some great young people in this church. Amen. We got these single kids. They love the Lord. They go soul winning. Amen. They listen to their pastor. Amen. They want to get married. Their pastor says, you ought to wait a year. They say, we don't want to, but we'll do it. Amen. We'll submit to you, pastor. We love you. They go soul winning. They go to church. They read their Bibles. We've got some young men. We've got some young kids here. They're working grown-up adult jobs. They're choosing jobs. They're choosing jobs based off the fact that they could still go to all three services, go soul winning, and support a family. Those are the kids of the new IB. But because you got this vendetta and you want to just try to, try to make somebody feel bad or look bad because their kid made a mistake. All of you, you guys all suck. It's ridiculous. Look, any church you're going to find good kids and bad kids. Obviously, I'm not saying every kid in the new IFB is great. But you know what? The old IFB, if you like it so much, go look at what they're producing. Show me the 30-year-old old IFB product. Show me the 35-year-old, the 30-year-old, the 25-year-old pastor that came out of Golden State Baptist College, West Coast Baptist College, whatever Bible college you want, Hiles Anderson College. Show me the 35-year-old that's just standing up, ripping face, leading a soul-winning movement in his community. Show it to me. It doesn't exist. You're not going to find a product of the old IFP, a 35-year-old that came out of the old IFP that's just ripping face, leading 100 soul winners out into the community. It doesn't exist. But this guy wants to make himself feel better. And you know what? Let me say this about Jason, about Grace and Fritz. And, you know, the Bible, people need to be careful and really just kind of take the beam out of their own eye. Because, you know, Grace and Fritz, and I hope you all understand, I'm going to bring this up, and I want to bring this up in the right spirit. This guy just had his oldest son join the military. Now, look, I'm not saying that because his oldest son joined the military that makes him a failure as a father. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't want my kids joining the military. Amen. I joined the military. I wouldn't, and I know this about the military. And by the way, you kids, listen up. Don't join the military. Amen. They own you. You don't get to go to church. You don't get to go soul winning. They control your life for those years. This guy's son goes and joins the military. And look, being in the military is not the worst thing in the world. I'm not saying that makes him a failure, but it's not the greatest thing in the world either. And I just think it's funny that he's getting up there and just screaming and yelling about being a godly parent and how you guys all suck. When his oldest son just joined the military, he's like, you're not really succeeding either, buddy. Why don't you take the beam out of your own eye? You think you'd have a little grace when other kids messed up? You think you'd be a little more loving? And look, I'm not saying he failed as a parent. I'm not saying he needs to quit the ministry. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying this. Having your kids join the military is not the greatest thing in the world. It's not the desire I have for my children. It's not the thing that I would want our kids. And by the way, 99% of the new IFP kids are terrible, the old IFP. You know, I can tell you story after story after story of kids from this church sitting in this auditorium right now. I can tell you story after story after story. And some of you moms and some of you dads can nod your heads and say yes to the fact that you had kids that thought about going into the military, and you talked them out of it, and I talked them out of it, and we went to them and said, don't do it. They're going to own you. And you know what those kids, they submitted to their pastor, they submitted to their mother, they submitted to their father, and they chose different jobs. I mean, I've got better parents in my church than you. But you want to sit there and attack us, attacking the kids of the new IFB to make yourself feel better. So I don't think you should bring that up. Take it up with Peter. Take it up with John. I mean, how are we supposed to, look, when a few kids mess up, and then it becomes your mantra, becomes your just your thing. You're constantly going to bring up, we're just trying to raise godly kids. We're just trying to raise godly kids. What are we supposed to think except for the fact that you're just trying to take jabs at our friends? Number four. I got five of these. How about the fact that they attacked our church members for asking questions on salvation? Now, look, this is the truth. You listen to those guys. You listen to those guys, and this is what they make it sound. They make it sound, and they're liars. And if they had any integrity, they would make a video tomorrow and say, you know what? Number four, Pastor Jimenez was right. He called me on the carpet, and he was true, and he told the truth, and let me apologize publicly. That's what they should do. Because if you listen to their sermons, you know what they make it sound like? They make it sound like our church members are just listening to their preaching, and they're just listening for them to mention some random pastor friend of theirs. And then our church members are just like, let's Google that guy and find everything wrong with that guy and just attack him. That's what they make it sound like. I mean, they're pretty full of themselves. They'll act like, you know, I'm just mentioning this guy down the street, and then this guy in California, he just starts Googling the name and finds out all these bad things about him. Well, here's the problem with that. That's called a straw man argument. That's a lie, and you know it. That's not what happened. You say, well, what happened? What happened is there's a heretic named Stacy Shiflett who was being interviewed and promoted to our church. He was being interviewed and promoted to the new IFB, promoted to our church people. He was trying to sell his book to our church people. They were going to invite him to events with our church people. And let me tell you something. That wasn't just some random guy you happened to mention in a sermon. You're trying to bring his influence into our church people. And at that point, you know what? Our church people have been trained to try all the spirits. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Don't just start picking up books and reading them. Find out what those people believe and make sure they're actually saved. Yeah. You want to make it sound like, oh, I just mentioned my friend and then they just started attacking him. Well, that's a lie, and you ought to admit the fact that you're lying. They're trying to promote Stacy Shiflett, promote him to our church, promote him to our movement, get our people to buy his book. And then some people actually bought the book, read it, and they were like, this guy is repent of your sins. Heretic. And they just start attacking our church people. And, you know, and they start mocking, and it was, you know, I'll just call them out. I'm calling everybody out by name. They're calling out Brother Luke. I'm calling Brother Luke out by name. You don't like it? Paul did it. No. Because Brother Luke makes this video, you know, and Grayson Fritz is up there. And, you know, because he loves the fact that he's from Tennessee. I reckon. And he thinks he's making fun of the, you know, he sees Luke, this blonde, blue-eyed kid, and he thinks he's making fun of this, like, surfer from California. And he's making fun of Luke, and he's saying, he's if you listen to what he's talking, saying about Brother Luke, he's saying, like, you're sitting there in your little car making your little video, and you've never even been to our part of the country. You'll probably never even come to our state. You've never even been around here. You know what's funny is that Brother Luke is from Kentucky. He grew up in a Repent of Your Sins church right in that area. By the way, that's why he cares so much about it. But you're so arrogant and stupid, you don't even take the time to figure out, why does this kid care so much? You know why he cares so much? Because that doctrine has damned his own whole family to hell. He's from the South too, reckon. And you just think you're making fun of Californians. You want to make fun of Californians, make fun of me. I'm a Californian. You say, you know, California this, California that. I've been to the rest of the country. It sucks. There's a reason why it's so expensive to live here. No offense to all my pastor friends that live other places. We love you. But you know what? They've attacked our church members for doing, you know, here's the thing. This is what we tell people. They attack our church members for doing what we've taught them to do. That's bad enough. But you know what's worse? They've attacked our church members for doing what the Bible tells them to do. The Bible says, try every spirit. The Bible says, try every spirit, whether they be of God. The Bible says you shouldn't just start picking up books and start listening to preaching and start letting people influence you without you testing them and judging them and making sure they're right. And because it embarrassed you and it embarrassed your little friend, You know what? You owe them an apology. They're doing exactly what the Bible told them to do. Well, they shouldn't be asking a pastor about salvation. Are you crazy? They shouldn't be asking a pastor about salvation. If there's any guy in the world you should ask about salvation, it's the pastor. Amen. Attacked our church members? How about preached angry and bitter sermons about our church members and our pastor friends? I mean, they're calling our church members. I'm talking about people from Verity Baptist Church and other churches of Like, Faith, and Practice. They're calling them clowns, bozos, stooges. People get all mad. Oh, Pastor Thompson called them out by name. He called out Pastor Anderson and Pastor Shelley by name and called them stupid. I mean, what are we supposed to think? And this is what people with that no discernment have. Because they'll say, well, he didn't say Pastor Anderson is stupid. Okay, here's what he said. Does Pastor Anderson do stupid things? Yes! You say, that's not the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. He's calling them stupid. You say, well, don't pastors get to disagree? Look, I've stood up here and preached sermons, and I've taught things that I knew my pastor friends maybe were a little different on. And you know what somebody who's normal, who actually loves their friends, says? You know, when we're preaching against false prophets, we just rip on them and whatever. But you know when somebody actually has a friend and loves their friend? I mean, you've heard me say, I'll stand up here and I'll say, now look, this is on this issue or on this position, I've got pastor friends that maybe they believe something a little different, and that's fine. They're independent Baptists in their church. They can do whatever they want. But here's what we do. Here's what we believe. That's how people who like each other talk. Amen. You know that? Let me help some of you that don't have any discernment. You know that we communicate on a larger level than just our words? You don't only communicate using your words. You communicate using your body language. You communicate using your facial expressions. You communicate using your tone of voice. You communicate using all sorts of things. And I dare you to go listen to that sermon and tell me you're not listening to a very bitter and angry man. And he tells you in the sermon what he's bitter about. He's mad that people are listening in his church. People are listening to Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Mejia and all these other pastors in the new IFP. You say, well, they shouldn't be listening to Pastor Anderson. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. They're only there because of Pastor Anderson. Amen. They preach these angry sermons. And look, those of you who say, you came to the wrong conclusion. Well, what other conclusion were we supposed to come to when they're attacking us about coronavirus? When they're befriending everybody that turns against us, when they're attacking the kids in the new IFB, when they're attacking our church members for doing what the Bible tells them to do, when they preach angry, bitter sermons about our church, and the other people say, but he didn't call you out by name. Well, that's the point of subtle, passive-aggressive attacks. You say, but why are they being subtle? Here's why they're being subtle. You say, why won't they just come out against you? Here's why they won't come out against us. Because they're still feeding off us. You know why they won't attack us? It's not because they don't like, they respect us. They don't like us. They'd attack us by name, all of us by name. But here's why they won't, is because they still want the guy listening to Pastor Anderson. They still want the guy listening to Pastor Mejia. They still want the guy listening to Pastor Shelley. They still want the guy listening to Pastor Jimenez that happens to live near them. They still want that guy to show up to their church. But they also, once they get there, they want to turn them against us so that they'll only love them. And look, some of you, you know, you're not in ministry and you don't understand this. And I will tell you, I understand where they're coming from. Sometimes, especially early in the ministry for me, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you, I can understand where they're coming from. Sometimes you feel like you're living under somebody's shadow. You know, you have people show up to your church and all they talk about is another pastor, and it can make you feel bad sometimes. So I understand where they're coming from. But, you know, you can either decide to let things make you bitter or better. And, you know, these guys have decided to just get bitter about it and get angry about it. and let's just attack Pastor Anderson. Let's attack Pastor Thompson. Let's attack Pastor Jimenez. Let's bring them down in hopes that our people will like us more. You know, I'll be honest with you. I can understand where they're coming from. I remember years ago thinking to myself, man, I've got all these people coming to our church, and they just keep telling me about how great these other pastors are and how we should do what they're doing, and we should do this, and we should do that. And look, I can understand how that can be frustrating. But you know what I decided a long time ago? Maybe I just need to get better. Instead of getting bitter, why don't I get better? You know what I thought to myself? I thought to myself, maybe I should make an awesome documentary. Maybe I should try to get better at preaching. Maybe I should create better content so people will like to listen to me. Maybe since these people are here, I can pray for them. I can love them. I can have them over to my house for dinner. I can visit them in the hospital. And eventually I'll earn their love and respect, and they'll love me too. They don't have to stop hating him and to start loving me. Sometimes people just need to decide, hey, instead of getting bitter, why don't you get better? Amen. You know, I thank God. We've got church people here who say, Pastor, you know, honestly, I'm so busy at work. I'm so busy. I don't have time to listen to any of the other preachers. You know, I come three times a week here, and that's all I need. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord. Maybe if your people feel so badly like they have to go home, if your people feel like they have to go home on Sunday night and listen to somebody else, maybe you're not feeding them.
Yeah,
right. I don't think you should say that. You lack discernment. Paul would have said it. And here, all I'm telling you is, if people were doing this to you, be subtle, passive-aggressive. So don't sit there and tell me you came to the wrong conclusion. No, you came to the wrong conclusion. You're not paying attention. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to preach a little longer than I normally do because I'm going to get this all out, and then we're going to get back to preaching about your sin next week, okay? You say, but these guys are saved. You know, here's the thing. As far as I know, they're saved. You know, we get accused of every time we don't like somebody, we reprobate them. First of all, that's a yucky word, to reprobate someone. But you know what? I understand that sometimes we fight with people and they're saved. As far as I know, they're saved. I don't know. I mean, sometimes people come out with all these weird things and we're like, okay, that guy's not saved. But you say, well, they're saved. And they're leading soul winning and they're getting people saved. You know, here's my thoughts on that. If there's guys out there that are saved and they hate me or they hate my friends or they're just fighting against us, but they're getting people saved, you know, my position is the same position as the Apostle Paul. I rejoice. I rejoice that they're getting people saved. I actually just preached about this last week in Philippians, but I'm going to show it to you again because it's all of a sudden become highly applicable this week. Philippians 1:15, notice what the Apostle Paul said. He said some. Now, in verse 14, he was talking about the brethren in the Lord. And in verse 15, he says some, referring to the brethren in the Lord. He's talking about saved people. He says some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Look, do you think that there are guys out there who preach entire sermons, sermons about being an independent Baptist or whatever? And their entire motivation for that sermon is that they're envious at Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Thompson and Pastor Mejia and Pastor Shelley. And that's why they're preaching the sermon. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife. You don't think that happens? Because I do. You don't think there's guys out there who hold entire King James-only conferences and their purpose is not to actually turn people towards the King James issue, but their whole purpose was to just show how much they were more King James than the rest of us? And they hold an entire conference, even of envy and strife. You don't think that happens? Because I do. Look, even in our churches, you don't think there's people who go soul winning and their entire motivation is just to do more soul winning than the pastor does, to do more soul winning than the staff does, to do more soul winning than the staff wives do with their 500 kids, to do more soul winning than the pastor's wife does? Because I do. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, not out of the right motivation. Look at verse 16. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. You don't think that there are some guys out there who preach about being a godly parent, not because they actually want people to be godly parents, but just to add affliction to some parents who just had their kids do something stupid? You don't think that happens? Because I do. He says, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He says, what then? He says, so what? He says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. You know what? I don't have to like their stupid conference, and I don't have to like their stupid comments, but if they're getting people saved, as far as them getting people saved, my position is, I rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. If someone is saved, and they're attacking us, but they're getting other people saved, as far as them getting people saved, I rejoice in that. You know what the funny thing is? That if somebody called me, from that area and said, hey, is there a good church in this area? I'd still recommend them if they're preaching the right gospel. I'd say, hey, you know, there's this church down there, but you might not want to mention you like me. You say, what do you call that? You call that maturity. You know, I can call them out for being liars and snakes and weasels, but if they're preaching the right gospel, you know, whatever. I rejoice. And if they're false prophets, we'll call them out on the carpet for that too. But you say, but why are they subtle? Because they want to continue to feed off of us. They want to continue to gain our followers. So you know what Pastor Thompson did? He said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of these guys just attacking me, attacking my friends, and they're just gaining from us. So he just called them out. So people would stop. So people would know, like, hey, this guy's not our friend. How do you know? You need the list? You need the five things? Those are just the five I gave you. You say, what's the issue? You know, here's the issue. Sometimes Christians fight. They've been fighting since the first century. Get over it. You say, what's the issue? The issue is that subtle, passive-aggressive attacks, the point is for them to be subtle. And if you don't have the discernment to see it, then maybe you should just keep your mouth shut. Let me give you a third statement. We'll finish up. Go to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. Here's a statement for these guys, these pastors. But honestly, this is a statement for every pastor. This is a statement for every young man, whoever wants to be a pastor. This is really a statement for every man sitting in this auditorium, especially young men. Now, before I give you the statement, let me give you the story, Judges chapter 9. I really like the story because it really highlights what I want to say. Judges 9, verse 28, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges 9, 28. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? Now, here we have two leaders, and by the way, they're both bad guys in the story. That doesn't matter. It brings a point across. And he says, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal, and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? Now notice what Gaal says in verse 29. And would to God this people were under my hand. Doesn't that sound like Absalom? Then would I remove Abimelech. So here you have Abimelech, the leader, and you got this Gaal guy. And by the way, if you read the context, they're all getting drunk at a party. And he starts running his mouth. Who is Abimelech? Who is Shechem that we should serve? Why should I serve him? Would to God that this people were under my hand. Then would I remove Abimelech. And he, that's Gaal, said to Abimelech. Now he's speaking to Abimelech, but Abimelech's not there. He says, increase thine army and come out. Now notice verse 30. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal. So like the mayor of the city was there at this gathering and he heard Gaal running his mouth. I mean, Gaal's just challenging Abimelech. Abimelech's not even in the city. Abimelech's somewhere else completely, and he's just running his mouth, and he's saying, Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. You fight me, you coward. That's what Gaal is saying. But Abimelech's not there. Verse 30, and when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. And just for sake of time, let me just skip some of this, but go down to verse 34. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. So Gaal's running his mouth. He's just drunk, and he's just saying, come out and fight me. Abimelech's not even in the city. But Zebul, the ruler of the city, he heard this, and he got mad. So he sends a messenger to Abimelech, and he says, hey, this is what this guy's saying about you. So Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. Gaal gets up the next day, and he sees the army. Look at verse 37. And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plains of Maonaim. He sees these armies coming down, and he's like, have you seen the people? They're coming. Look at verse 38. Then said Zebul unto him. I love this phrase. So every young man should underline this phrase in their Bible. Then said Zebul unto him, where is now thy mouth? He said, you are running your mouth, tough guy. Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled him before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. You say, that's an interesting story. What's the lesson there for every man, every young man, every pastor, every future pastor? Here's the lesson for you. When you take jabs at people, they might hit back. So if you can't take it, don't dish it out. You know, it's easy to be the bully and be angry and just, you know, bullying people and taking jabs and preaching and calling people bozos because it's a young guy in California. Calling them bozos and stooges, and they're stupid, and they're clowns, and they all suck at parenting. But you know what? Here's what you don't understand. Pastor Thompson's a grown man. Amen. He tries to have discern. He tries to love you and be patient with you, but eventually men get fed up. And you know what? If you take jabs at someone, they might hit you back. Amen. And by the way, figuratively, you know, but even you young guys, physically. So you know what? If you can't take it, don't dish it out. Maybe you ought to give a second thought and think to yourself, should I be saying this to this person? Maybe they'll call me out on the carpet and I'll be ashamed and embarrassed. Look, it's just a lesson. And look, even as pastors, even when we call out the bad guys, I mean, we call out the bad guys and you know what they do? They make all these videos about me and my family lying about me. You say, well, pastor, you know, doesn't that bother you? Here's the thing. If it's a fight. If I'm going to stand for the truth, I have to realize sometimes you're going to get hit. Sometimes they're going to lie about you. Sometimes they're going to in a fight, you're going to get hit sometimes. So when you take jabs at people, realize sometime they might get upset and just call you out on the carpet, call you out publicly. You take jabs at people, make fun of their kids, make fun of them for live stream only, make fun of this, make fun of all these subtle things. Eventually, they might turn around and just smack you back. And the difference about men of integrity is that they'll just call you out by name. Amen. Look, every young man should know this. Sometimes you take jabs at people and they might hit you back. So if you can't take it, don't dish it out. If you don't like it, he called us out by name. Start paddling back on all your comments. Why don't you stand by them? I'd have more respect for you if you just made a video and said, I think Pastor Manis is a coward for going live stream only. And I would be like, well, at least the guy has a backbone. I still don't agree with them. I still don't like it. I still think, but you know, why won't they do that? Because they want our influence. They want the new IFB to still feed them. They want to be able to be these bottom feeders and just feed people off of us. And everyone that turns against us, they're just going to befriend them. They're going to have their little revival conference of all the new IFB misfits, all the rejects that we rejected. You say, Pastor, does it upset you? It doesn't upset me. You think I want to go to their stinking conference? Watch their promo videos. It's so lame. They're like, we're going to have revival. We're going to have revival. Get out of here. Good riddance. Get rid of you and stick with the Red Hot Preaching Conference every day of the week.
Amen.
You know what? You can only push men for so long. And eventually, they're just going to get to the point where they're like, it's time to call this guy out. And if you don't like it, then don't dish it out. If you can't take it, then don't try to act like some tough guy. Because when you hit people, sometimes they might hit you back.